Around the year 1900, there was a lady named Martha Barry. And Martha Barry had a dream. She wanted to create a school for kids who couldn't afford to go to school. But she had a problem. She had no books. She had no schoolhouse. She had no money. So she turned to the one person that she thought could help, and that was Henry Ford. Henry Ford was a multimillionaire, and he was glad to help. In fact, he reached into his pocket, and he looked Martha in the eye, and he said, "I've got something for you. I want to contribute." And he handed her a dime. Now, I know this was 100 years ago, but a dime was still just a dime. But Martha took the dime and was going to make a difference. So she went and bought a pack of seeds. And she planted a garden. And she harvested the garden. And she sold the profits. And she bought more seeds. And after multiple harvests, she had enough money to buy an old run-down schoolhouse. And she was proud of her accomplishment. And so she went marching back into Mr. Ford's office and said, "Mr. Ford, I wanted you to know that the dime that you gave me was the plant, was the seed of what I now have in terms of this schoolhouse." And Mr. Ford was impressed. And Mr. Ford at that moment in time decided to donate $1 million to Martha Barry and her cause. And later, her college became known as Barry College. Around the year 1000 BC, there was a man who had a dream. His name was Shamgar. His dream was to save Israel. But he had a problem. He had no experience. He had no army. He had no weapons. So he turned to the one person that he thought could help. He turned to God. Now, I want to tell you, we don't know a lot about Shamgar from these two sentences in the Bible. If you brought your Bible with you, open up to Judges and look with me for a second. Notice in chapter 3 that Othniel has a whole paragraph dedicated to him. Ehud has a whole column. Deborah has a whole page. She even has a whole page dedicated to her song. Gideon has multiple pages dedicated to his history. And yet Shamgar's got one verse, verse 31, two sentences. So we don't know much about him. We can assume, based on the passage, that Shamgar was a farmer. We can assume that because he had an ox goad. Anybody know what an ox goad is? An ox goad is a long 10-foot pole with a big point on the end that farmers use to prod their cattle and to prod ox. So we can assume he was a farmer. He was an ordinary Israelite who took the call for an extraordinary cause, to defend his family, to defend his country, to defend God. Now, he could have very easily sat back and said, "Not me. There's 600 of them and one of me. Why me? I'm not going to do this." But he became the leader that his people needed. He became the inspiration that his country needed. And God acknowledged his contributions in his word. And we today can learn three very important life principles from Shamgar's life. Three principles that show us exactly how we can achieve success. Life principle number one: you start where you are. Now, I read a very interesting Chinese proverb about when you should grow trees. Does anybody know the best time to grow a tree? Say it again. Say it again. That's correct. 20 years ago is the best time to plant a tree. The next best time to plant a tree, does anybody know when that is? It's right now. Where was Shamgar? Shamgar was living in a time when he feared for his life. He feared for his life. He feared for his family's life. He feared for the life of his countrymen. And yet, he stayed focused on the one thing that he needed to do. His country was being held hostage by the Philistines. And he said, I'm going to stay focused on the one thing that I can do. Is one thing enough? In Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42, Jesus talked about the one thing. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Jesus talked about one thing. And you might be thinking, I can't focus on just one thing. I got too much stuff going on in my life right now. I might respond back to you and say, how can you not focus on one thing? I want to tell you about a golf lesson that I took about 10 years ago. I went and saw a golf pro. Now I needed to do this because I'm not a very good golfer. And my wife bought me this gift card, and I got to go see this golf pro, and he was going to tell me the 26 things that I needed to do to be a better golfer. So let me tell you what he told me. He was telling me how to stand, and he was showing me how to hold the club, and how to point my head down, and where the club should be in my backswing. Now, don't start writing any of this down. Where my head should be when I'm striking the ball, and where it should be, the club should be on the foul through. He gave me 26 things that I needed to focus on to be a better golfer. Well, you know what happened? I became a worse golfer. Why do you think I became a worse golfer? I was thinking about too much. I had too much stuff going on in my head. I couldn't focus on just one thing. Now you might be thinking right now, but what is that one thing? I got a lot of stuff going on right now. What is the one thing? The one thing that you can focus on, if you struggle with it, if you struggle with priorities, then you need to remember the mason jar and a cup of coffee. Now, I found that people learn differently, and I want you to learn something today. I want you to take something back that you can put into practice today, and hopefully something that you can put into practice for the rest of your life. If you're an auditory learner, you're loving me right now because I'm doing a lot of good talking. But if you're a visual learner or a kinesthetic learner or a doer, then you need to see something and you need to get involved. And so that's why I want to tell you about the mason jar and a cup of coffee. Now, I did this at the 9:30 service, so I'm just going to talk about what I did because I made an enormous mess. And I didn't want to do that again. When I started, I had this empty mason jar. And the mason jar represents our lives. And when there's nothing in it, we had very empty lives. But if we focus on the most important things, and the golf balls that are in the mason jar represent the most important things in our lives, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Jesus, our spouse, our kids, our health, those are the most important things. And I put all the golf balls into the mason jar, and guess what the mason jar was? It was full. When you focus on the most important things, you'll have a very full life. But everyone started saying, well, but there's other things that matter in my life too. I got a job. I got school I got to focus on. And that was important. I had my two kids were at the previous service. School is important. Those are important things too. What about those other things that matter in our lives? And I said, well, we've got those things. We've got our house and our car and our finances. And so the pebbles in this jar represented all the things that matter in our life. And I started pouring in a bunch of pebbles, and they fit in perfectly around the things that matter most. And then they started thinking, what about all the little things that I have in my life? I like to watch TV. Average American watches 4 hours of TV a day. I want to watch my TV. I want to check my email. My pocket's buzzing right now. Somebody's calling me. What about all these little things? I got to cut the grass. I got to clean the house. There's a lot of little there's little things I don't even want to do. What about all that? Is there room for that if my life is full of all the important things and the things that matter? Well, I poured some sand into the mason jar. And the sand represented all the little things that we all deal with every day. And there was room for all the little stuff. And I don't say a lot of profound things, but I'm about to say something very profound. My wife can attest to the fact that I don't say a lot of profound things. If you don't have your priorities straight, and you focus on the little things, there's not going to be room for the most important things. If I'd put the sand into the mason jar first, there wouldn't have been room for the things that matter, the pebbles, and there wouldn't have been room for the most important things, the golf ball. My whole life would have been consumed with all the little things. And so you have to have priorities. Now somebody's thinking right now, well, where did the cup of coffee come in? Didn't you say mason jar and a cup of coffee? Well, I wanted you to know that even though it looks like your life is completely full, there's always time to sit down and have a cup of coffee with God. So I stopped by McDonald's and wanted you to know that as full as your life gets, there's always room for a cup of coffee with God. Did Shamgar focus on the little things? No. He focused on the most important thing. He focused on the one thing that he could do that would make a difference. Did he wait to assemble an army? Did he wait to get trained? Did he wait to have a weapon? No, he didn't wait for anything. He started where he was. Life principle number one, start where you are. And you might be thinking right now, but if I get started right now, I don't know if I have all the equipment. I don't know if I have all of what it takes to be successful. That's life principle number two. Life principle number two is that you use what you have. What did Shamgar have? He had an ox goad. He didn't have a sword. He didn't have a spear. He didn't have a gun. It was 1000 BC, so there weren't any guns, actually. But he didn't need a gun. He didn't need a sword. He could use what he had, which was an ox goad. A lot of times we get so caught up in all the things we don't have, we don't think about what it is we do have, and we have everything we need to be successful. On December 21st, 1945, General George Patton died. He went to heaven. And he saw St. Peter at the gates. And he had this burning question his entire life. And he said, St. Peter, I have a question for you. I want to know, who is the greatest general of all time? And St. Peter, he didn't even hesitate. He goes, I'm glad you asked. He goes, he's with us right here today. And he gestured over to his right. I think General Patton was just slightly disappointed because he was kind of deep down thinking it was him. But he started to gaze over in the direction where St. Peter looked. And he started thinking, I wonder if it's Napoleon. I wonder if it's Genghis Khan. I wonder if it's Attila the Hun. I wonder if it's Julius Caesar. I wonder if it's George Washington. I wonder if it's my boyhood hero, Robert E. Lee. And with enthusiasm, he looked over in the direction. And he was stumped. He goes, I know that man. He was a cook in my division of the army. I know him. St. Peter sighed and said, I know. Had he realized his potential, he would have been the greatest general of all time. You already have what it takes to be successful. What in our children's message story today, what did the little boy have that fed 5,000 people at the Sea of Galilee? He had 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread. He had everything he needed to be successful. What did David have when he went up against Goliath? He had a slingshot and a rock. Here you got this 17-year-old boy going up, this big man who's covered head to toe in armor. He's got a slingshot and a rock. He got laughed at. But he had everything he needed to succeed. What did Samson have when he killed an entire army? Anybody know? He had the jawbone of a donkey. He killed an entire army with the jawbone of a donkey. It says different in the script, but I'm trying to keep it PG. What did Moses use to turn the Nile River into blood and to part the Red Sea? A staff. And what did Shamgar use to defend his country? An ox goad. You already have everything that you need to be successful. And God was talking to me before I came to talk to you, and he was telling me, tell these people to stop asking me for something that they already have. You already have everything that you need to be successful. So principle number one, you start where you are. Life principle number two, you use what you have. And life principle number three, you do what you can. One of my favorite quotes is from Vince Lombardi. He wrote, "The dictionary is the only place where success comes before work. Hard work is the price we must pay for success." And I think you would agree Shamgar was the definition of success. When you single-handedly kill 600 people and you defend your country, I think you can get put on a pedestal and people can say you were a successful individual. So Shamgar was that definition. But so many times we get focused on what if we fail? And guess what happens when you focus on failure? You fail. You focus on failure and you fail. Thomas Edison was talking to a critic of his one time, and I think this was a sarcastic quote, because he said, "I did not fail 10,000 times. I simply found 10,000 ways to not invent the light bulb." There is one thing that if you want to succeed and you want to do all that you can do, there's one thing you can't do. Thomas Edison didn't do it when he tried 10,000 times before he invented the light bulb. Colonel Sanders didn't do it, despite the fact that he was rejected 1,009 times before somebody finally bought his secret chicken recipe. And I'm glad they did. Abraham Lincoln didn't do this one thing, even though he was defeated when he ran for Senate, when he ran for Congress, and when he ran for Speaker of the House. He didn't do the one thing you can't do. Anybody ever heard of a man named Jacob Hauser? Anybody know what Jacob Hauser did? You probably hadn't heard of Jacob Hauser because Jacob Hauser did the one thing you can't do. And if you do the one thing, you won't be successful and you won't be remembered. He did what? I heard it back here. He quit. And you can't quit. No matter what you're doing, you can't quit. No matter how hard it's getting, you can't quit. It doesn't matter if there's 600 against one, you can't quit. Now, I'm about to make a transition, and just to help you with the transition, I was making popcorn one night, and I was thinking about not quitting. Now, I want you to tell you that me and my wife are popcorn fanatics. Love my popcorn. Now, how many people have a Whirly Pop? Anybody ever have one? You have a Whirly Pop? And you gotta crank the little Whirly Pop. So let me tell you about our passion for popcorn. we have to special ship in what we call the gook, and it's the movie theater oil that you put into the pan. And so we had to special order this, and we put it into the pan. And what I do, I've got this whole process that I use when I'm cooking popcorn. So I put the gook into the pan, and I turn the heat on low, and I just kind of let it start to melt. While I go over and I start cutting up, I got three teaspoons of butter. It's got to be the real butter. And I put it into a little bowl, and I put it in the microwave, and I put it on defrost, because the one time I put it on full, it went all over the microwave. And so I got it on defrost. While that's happening, I run back over to the pan, and I put in the corn, and I put in the special secret movie theater spice, and a half a teaspoon of salt, and put it all in there and start cranking. And I've already done this many times. I know it takes 3 minutes and 30 seconds before all the popcorn starts popping. And so this one time, as I'm cranking the popcorn, I hit the 3 minutes and 30 seconds, and I'm thinking, okay, where's the, didn't get the, and so I kept thinking, okay, Abraham Lincoln didn't quit, so I started cranking. A little before the 4 minutes hit, and I'm sitting there going, where's the, Thomas Edison didn't quit, so I'm going to keep cranking, and I wasn't going to quit, and I hit the 4.5 minute mark, and I started thinking, something's wrong. Anybody know what I forgot to do this one time? I forgot to turn it up from low to medium. Turn the heat up. So when you want to be all you can be and you are following life principle number 3, you can't quit. And you need to make sure that you give it all of your enthusiasm, and you need to put all of your energy into whatever you're doing. Because when you leave it on low, you're not going to be successful. And you might be thinking right now, but I'm just one person. What difference can I make? There's 600 of them, and there's one of me. Was what Shamgar did significant? It was to his family, it was to his country, and it was to God. And I'm here to tell you today that you are significant to God. So remember to start where you are right here, right now. Remember to use what you have. God's given you everything you need to be successful. And life principle number 3, do all that you can do. Don't quit. And turn your faith on high. Let God's people together say, Amen. Amen.